श्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्रृण्वन्नुतिभिः सेदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः वेदान्तडिण्डिमस्तत्त्वम् एकम् उद्घोषयन्ति यत् आस्तां पुरस्तात् तत्तेजः दक्षिणामूर्तिसंहितम् न जीवब्रह्मणोर्भेदः नाम्ना रूपेण विद्यते नाम्नो रूपस्य मिथ्यात्वात् इति वेदान्तडिण्डिमः न जीवब्रह्मणोर्भेदः पिण्डब्रह्माण्डभेदतः व्यष्टे समष्टेरेकत्वात् इति वेदान्तडिण्डिमः. So this, I found this exercise very helpful, that I memorize the verse each time, and then every day I can reflect on it, because there's a good reason why they have people memorize. Because then you have it in the mind and you can think about it easier. And I find when I memorize like one pada, usually the third pada, something missing. What's there? But the essential thing is there, the rest of it. Then I have to go look up. Oh, that was the word I was missing. Couldn't get this. But I really find it helpful like this. Mm-hmm. So just that's why I'd suggest it. And I tried it myself and I like it. So before we go into the verses, you last class we didn't have class, just Shruti and I were here, so we chatted and we didn't have the class. But the week before that class ended, you asked a question. I thought we'd want to dice a little bit more before we go into this, because you were saying about intuition like this.
In fact, I had a following question on that.
So what I was thinking is, when we say intuition, we don't have a very clear definition. Like, okay, without any, just somehow I know that this is the right thing to do, like this, right? So the issue with that is, yes, it's kind of like when you see a virtuoso musician, they don't have to think and they can do, right? No problem. Everything exactly in place. It's amazing. And yes, they don't have to think. It's natural. But how did that become natural? That's the thing. If I just want to play like that musician, I just want to start playing, I won't be able to. I'll say, hey, I'm just trying to copy you, I can't do it. You know, they went through a lot of training until it became internalized like this. So the thing is, we can't focus on that intuition itself. We have to focus on what training is helpful for it, like this. So that's I think the important thing, because one thing I've seen in school Vedanta I've been studying is they're very careful with everything, every definition of things. Because if something is a loose definition, because it is the moment you use a word, it's an intellectual idea, so it should be clear what we're talking about. So, because here, look, people say God, say Brahman. What do they mean? Oh, some idea, but leave it there. you know, we don't even know what we're looking for. Like this. Of course, we can't make Brahman into a concept, but we have more understanding of it like this. So in any case, so in this way, what is helpful for it is important to develop like this. Because in other words, we want to go through things smoothly and not to disturb others and not to be stirred by. That's really what we want. So how do we do? So the Karma Yoga, of course, the Viveka, the Ishvara Pranidhana, these things, all these things are helpful for it. The more I'm detached, the more... So that is what I can do to build it up, not just trying to get to that, all to that specific thing. And also not to get to that... We're looking for... Also, one has to be cautious in it. Also, it's the result of the action, not to... If my focus is to get to that specific goal, yeah, it can be an intermediary goal, but not to take it. We need some intermediary goals, otherwise, you know, we can't just focus. I'll just get to Brahman, nothing else. Of course, so maybe this is an intermediary goal, as you're saying, the intuition of being able to do things and not disturb like this. So you try to develop the different things, you know, surrendering everything to everything. Karma pala isn't yours. Then it helps, because then you're less caught up in things. Trying to seem equally loving everybody, because then you'll do what's best for that person there and then, without taking all my past. Because doing first somebody you don't know, much easier. People we know, we have so much ideas already, baggage there. And also somebody I don't know, because of my biases, I might see them differently too, like this. So practicing this, practicing my viveka, right? Viveka, that I'm not this body-mind, just an instrument, so then I'm less caught up in the situation. So developing these things will make those things smoother. That's what I was thinking. Because what trying to get to is what we all probably aspire to, but how to do it is the important thing, I think. Those are just thoughts I had about it.
So, I mean, to me, it's like, you know, if you have intuition, then you don't need to spend so much time in your worldly affairs, planning and, part what to do and what not to do. So that part is like, you know, taken care. And then you invest that energy in, you know, studying. Of course, this is like important. Then you can, you know, develop other things.
So sure.
Then, you know, your logical faculty is like, you know, kind of completely shut, and then you you do the study and manam of all these things. You're not much distracted. That's what I think.
Well, the distraction, well, the thing is, when a decision is there, how much it weighs on me is to do with my attachment, expectation, identification, right? That's where it weighs on me. If it's something like, for instance, if I have a friend that has some problem, this discusses a little, the few points are logical, I can give very easily advice because it's third person for me, right? So I don't feel weighed down by it. Because I'm identifying, same thing comes to me, because I'm identifying with it, it's so much harder, like this. So, you know, if we think ourselves as third person, yeah, it would be good you do like this and we just do like that, take it easy, not a problem. So to try to... because all the information is there, but it weighs on us because of this identification like this. So learning to do it like that, just taking, seeing what is, doing best. And of course, you know, using our logic, as you said, not just if I just without thinking at all, then also it's not useful, because it doesn't mean that everything we don't have to put some thought into.
Yeah.
You know, but... And, you know, we have the whole life as school. We can keep learning and growing, right? Yeah. So the thing is, and also this is the world, the world is a very good training ground, because what is it? It's my ideas, expectations are part of my whole worldview, my identity. And so I can learn, you know, as I observe it, I can learn from myself and see where I'm getting caught up in things. And then... Those are my weak points that I have to learn not to be so caught up in, not to identify so much with. So I think this is the direction I think that can be helpful for us in the day-to-day things. And we see ourselves where I get frustrated, where I get upset in things like this, and those are things I can see that I can, okay, that's where I, my weakness, my attachment is, and I have to learn to, you know, let go of that, or think of it differently. Is this more following question after that, or this?
Yeah, I mean, my question was, is intuition part of intellect?
Well, what is intuition? That's why, because I don't know what intuition is, like this, as we say, so it depends what we mean by intuition, like this. My guru used the word intuition, but his idea of intuition is really like viveka, this type of thing, just, you know, self-knowledge. That's kind of like how he would say, because he said, he would say you have three eyes, lower eye, the instinct, intellect, and intuition. Intuition meaning, you know, so really he meant yourself, not the worldly thing. Mm-hmm. And the thing is this, knowledge of self will help with all the worldly things because they won't touch me, right? Because the more I have idea of myself as Sakshi, not as this limited body-mind, then less the things will disturb me. And so I'll do things easier because it's not going to be weighs me as much, and then it'll be easier to do because I'm not caught up, so it's easier just to see things clearly. So it does have the effect in the day-to-day for sure, but the thing is, the goal isn't just to go through things smoothly in day-to-day life. Of course, that measure helps, that measure makes it easier. And actually, if we're looking at this for some time, obviously it's helped some way to loosen some of the grip the world has on me, obviously. Otherwise, why would I be interested in this, right? So obviously it does help, and so it's a good measure in some ways. Because yes, you're looking at it for a year or whatever, studying closely, you see that it has helped to loosen something. Yes, it's doing something good for sure. Like this, if not, you know, probably wouldn't continue to look into it. But for, unless it becomes like a religious thing where it's the, you know, this is what you do, so I'm just going to stick to this. But then we miss the point. Then.
So maybe sometimes when you're doing some action, you know,
yeah.
You're going to do something, and something tells like, oh, this is not right. Something
yeah.
You feel. Not right, but you don't know exactly what it is. Then you realize, okay, well, this is what you like. When you go out or something, you feel something you're missing, but if you don't know what exactly you're missing, then you realize, maybe is that intuition? I don't know.
If that's intuition, it could be intuition, could be instinct also. Because look, animals know that. Like when there was some years ago the big tsunami. So in Sri Lanka, a lot of people got hurt from, but a lot of animals just went up the mountain, went away from the seashore, because they could tell. So there was instinct. So is that instinct intuition?
Yeah.
It's hard to tell. It's like mother's intuition. Is it mother's intuition or is it instinct? Because the nature made it like that. The mother feel, the you know, the baby is literally physically part of her, right? So close. Yeah. That she's going to think that in her sleep she'll know kind of anything's wrong, she'll know. So there's some sort of connection there. People like to say intuition, but that would probably more an instinct because the animals have it too. Do the animals have intuition?
Yeah. No.
The animal have the same thing. So that's why intuition is, because we don't have a clear definition, so what do we mean by it? So that's why it's something I have to be a little careful. That's why, you know, I said last time, I think, what is the instinct? You can say it's intuition. It's part of it is, you know, clarity. You know, you know this field very well. Part of it, detachment. Like this, you won't say it's just one thing, and that's why people in different fields will automatically know because of their expertise in the field. It becomes natural, and they can see very quickly like this. Probably, if we measure the brain waves, there will be some process there that is, you know, but just very fast, doing it very fast because they've already experts in that field, like this. You know, like my guru, people would come with the problem, and what would happen is they just start talking, it already understands the whole thing. Okay, just do this. Because again, just seeing through the person and seeing, because of having a lot of experience with it like this. Then you're seeing the samskara, seeing what's causing it. So again, you can say intuition possibly, but it's probably just expertise in that, like this, because of having seen that so much, like that. Somebody deals with people a lot, knows the mind very well, can see that very clearly, like that. So So yeah, so this Shin surely helped become expert like this and going through the life easier, I'm sure, like this. And so, and you see for yourself, you do the vichara and you see for yourself, you prove to yourself. We don't just take it from the book. If, you know, I myself say, yes, still get caught up in things, but I like the measure that Swami Paramarthanandaji gives, which really shows the FIR, right? The how frequent the disturbance comes up, how intense it is, and how the recovery period, how fast you bounce back. And this one, you know, if you keep measuring, you know, then you see over time, yes, if those all lessen, meaning it's doing something. And I, so that no disturbance, I can't say no disturbance, but I can see that the, you know, frequency, intensity, recovery period is less. So that means it's doing something good, like that, in that way. Because think of it, you just see it, you a little more clarity, you see that it's coming up and disturbing. As it comes up, some of the other samskaras from this come up. Hey, how much am I going to be caught up in this nonsense? Or after it catches you for some time, you say, a different thought will come. You know, let it pass by to things. Why do I make such a big deal out of this? And then it goes by. So it really, because these putting more in with this, these kind of samskaras in helps more and more to loosen that, like that. So in this way, nice soap for our mind. Very nice. So I think that's, we'll aim for that. So in any case, we've been looking, right, the Vyashti Samashti so much, and actually that's after 2/3 of the text going so much into Vyashti Samashti, because that's what the Vedanta does, right? There's Tatpada Shodhanam and Twampada Shodhanam, looking into closely into each of these, clarifying them, and then afterwards looking that they're one and the same, because that's what it talks about, because we see two things, so we have to look at them closely. More we have clarity about the two of them, easier to see that there's no difference between the two. And very interesting, I sent an email for the Kathopanishad class, so sorry you guys weren't excluded then, but I'll forward to you just because it was, Vijayji was just teaching, and we started Gita, you know, after he did Brahma Sutras, and well, Chatusutri, the first four, because the rest we're not going to learn in class. So after some Upanishads, that went back to Gita, but a more advanced commentary. So third verse in the philosophy, 13th verse of chapter 2, because philosophy starts 11. Then he brings up a question in the commentary. Swami Shankarananda wrote the commentary. He said, well, he's just told Arjuna that you're never born again. Now again, he's saying something similar. Why like this? So what happens is, because it's a very subtle point, it's not easy to grasp. We have so many other counter ideas that a lot of repetitions needed to keep looking at it. So like this, it's not something that we hear once and then, you know, if I'm uttamadhikari, I'm totally ready. Yeah, one small flame holding burns. But we have, you know, a lot of habits that make the wood kind of wet. It has to be dried, and it keeps getting wet. We keep wetting it again after, like this. And Swami Tattvedananda says, whatever ground you've conquered like this, don't let go of that ground. It's very difficult. Like in a war, they'll get some ground, they'll be beat, they have to keep, like here, Ukraine, Russia, for Ukraine, a few steps forward, she suspects it's for it, it'll keep going. It's very hard to, because of the other habits. So we have to keep looking at it. Keep putting the samskara and keep thinking about and understanding in this, because the other ones are encroaching on from the other thing. The good thing is that this one, as it's in the Upanishad, Satyameva Jayate, right? That's from the Upanishad. Satyameva Jayate or Jayate? Jayate, I think. Jayate. Sorry, my Sanskrit. I didn't study enough to know these things well enough. But in any case, this from the Upanishad, and it's true because in the end, that is the base. So in the end, there's no way that won't overcome. No way, but we have to be patient with it. So to keep look, really wanting keeps to stay with it like this. So here, how many verses here talking about Satyam Yaninada saying Chitin Sarad, but we keep looking at it in a slight different angle, slight different way, and have to keep looking and clarifying for ourselves, and it does help for sure, like this. So in any case, next verse, there, probably this whole text, and probably all of Shankara's writing, the most best known one, like this. So it's, what is it, 67 is it, I think, next one? So let's chant part by part, it's very well known. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya.
Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya.
Jivo Brahmaiva Naparaha.
Jivo Brahmaiva Naparaha.
Jivan Muktastu Tadvidvan.
Jivan Muktastu Tadvidvan.
Iti Vedanta Dindimaha.
Iti Vedanta Dindimaha.
So Brahma Satyam, the Brahman is the Satya, Jagan Mithya, world is Mithya, and Jiva and Brahman are one and the same. Let's see how he says it here in the text. A bit beyond it here. He says, Brahman alone is real, whereas the world is unreal. The one who knows that is indeed liberated even while living, proclaims Vedanta. This is missing the third pada, the jivo brahmeva na paraha. The jiva is no other than Brahman, like this. Mm-hmm. That, so actually somehow that got missed, maybe in the printing or something, they missed that one. Interesting, the other text that I first printed out and gave, and I said, hey, it has a lot of mistakes, it was missing there, but I know it's based on this, because so much is translated the same, so somehow in this one it was also missed. Mm-hmm. So in this one, so Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So what happens is, we most of the time we think Jagan Satyam, Brahma Mithya. That's how we think most of the time because we don't see it, right? We see these names and forms and everything that's happening, and we feel it. I feel this body. I feel this. You know, so many things happening, news and war and politics, whatever, and so many nice things I can see. And, you know, all this, so much. It seems so real that we're caught, you know, that's our samskara is a lot more, that the world is real, like this. How much more it takes to look beyond it like this. But the thing is, one thing about it, though, as we start looking into it, then now there's ambiguity. Is it this or is it this, right? And one thing we have to be careful, which is what we do, is we like to stay with the ambiguous. It's okay. It might be here, it might be there. A lot of that's actually what most people do in so many topics. They'll discuss some philosophical topic. Yeah, it might be like this. Yeah, it might be like this. And they just leave it there. Yeah, we can't know. So we'll just leave it as maybe a hypothetical thing. So we can leave it as a hypothetical thing, but then a hypothetical thing doesn't do anything. It just stays there. Something interesting to chat about or think about a little bit, mental exercise, and then do something else like this. So one has to really look into which one is it. You can't say, is this one the Satyam, is this one? You'll say, oh, okay, maybe both. We like to all be all-inclusive, right? All-inclusive, dvaita, dvaita, all-inclusive. Yes, it's one thing, but it's also multiple things. Yeah, it's a... Even if somebody says it like this, but did they really look into it? So we should really look into, because we can say, yes, Adi Guru Shankara said, the Guru says, so it's just Brahman, yes. But then if I don't look into myself, then again, I don't know it, I just leave it as an idea. And leaving as an idea will just stay as an idea, it's not going to be a root first-hand knowledge of my own, it'll be just some nice idea. So I have to keep really look into it. Now it's just leave it there, because leaving it there is not going to solve, won't really fully solve the issues. So this is people that have belief. They go to temple or church or something, they have belief, but they don't look into it. That's a good starting point. But then they have to look into it too, because otherwise it stays as some feeling, some belief. What happens when that feeling isn't there? Because of the samskaras in the mind come up. Some chemical thing in the brain comes, so it changes how you think. Now, you know, they get angry at the gut. I worship you so much, so why does this happen? I don't want to worship you anymore like this. So that's why it has to really be looked into. So when we look at the world, then you see the world and everything. Or we start before the world, we have to take our example, our famous example, we have the pot, right? If you come to the ashram cellars, where I'll show you where the acharya will sit and teach the class, they made like an L-shaped desk that they sit, and so that's where the shelves underneath keep some things. There are a whole batch of pots on those shelves there, because people say, probably says, oh, please bring me a pot so I can show as an example in the class, and they probably show it, and then, oh, they just leave it down there, and then it just, so they collect pots there. Nice pot collection. So our friend the pot is there. Now, you know how much we look into pot and clay and snake and rope, because we have to keep, these are examples we keep having to look at to understand, because wonderful examples. So when you have the pot and the clay, then you, what is it? Is it pot or is it clay? You can't say it's both of these things. We're saying essentially, like you say, you'll say, are you wife or are you mother? But that's in relation to other people. But you, in essence, you'll say, am I a human being or am I, you know, is this human being a robot? So they're going to not know, they're going to check if it's human being or robot, right? Some video I happened to see, YouTube came up. My God, how they're starting to make robots that are literally, just still doesn't act completely like a person, but much closer than I expected they could do. It's amazing. But in any case, so is it human being or robot? You can't say both. You know, 200 years, maybe there's some hybrid thing, who knows, like this. But right now, robot means insentient, human being is sentient. Because if a human being gets some installation, some things, it's a human with some robotic things in it, because conscious being, robot's not a conscious being. So, you know, can be one or the other, can't be both. So in essence, what is it, right? So you know, you go to the doctor, they check. Do you have COVID or do you not have COVID, like this? You know, they have some limbs, so somebody has some growth. Is it cancer, is it not cancer? I couldn't find that, I'll do more tests, okay. But it's this or this, it can't be both. It's cancer, not cancer, it's COVID and not COVID. You'll say, what kind of doctor are you? You tell me decisively what it is. You can't leave. So is it pot or is it clay, decisively? So of course we say yes. Okay, if you're being so adamant, it's clay. Okay, it's clay. Because you know that before it was clay and then somebody put it together, your daughter in pottery class made it. You have to be very careful because it'll break, she'll be very upset. When she's, you know, in college or falls and breaks, you feel so bad. And then you say, oh, you know, when you speak to them, I feel so bad to tell you, oh, that mom I made in seventh grade, I'd really, you throw it out, I don't care about it. So then you know, but still you know it's clay, it's always been clay. So you say, yes, okay, it's clay. Okay, very good, we decided. So where's the pot? What do you mean by pot? Say, well, what do I, would you call it pot? You deal with pot, what do you mean by pot? What is pot then? Because if it's clay, what is pot? Mm-hmm. Right? Pot, what is it? It's clay plus some other ideas, but it's clay, like this. So how decisively to say, yes, it's only clay, like this, not anything else? Because otherwise, then we have to really look at it. What is pot? It's just, you know, some form and some idea we give to it, and that's it. It's not more than that. We have to really look at that like this. And so, of course, this example is always given because then it's a tangible, a small, simple, tangible one, like this. And because the Upanishad says that, right? What's it? Vacham, vacharam bhanam deyam mrittika eva satyam. Let's just name it. Just from speech, just an idea that we have, we look at the clay like this, and then it's really always been clay. So what a ramification that has, that it's only the clay. The rest is mitya, jagan mitya. It is mitya because the clay is there, the pot is not a substantial thing. It's like this. Now, if we can see with that, what about last night if you had a dream? Remember some dream you had, dream, maybe a disturbing dream you have sometimes. So disturbing dream. Now, what is that dream? You know, there's you behind all the dream and there's the whole world of the dream. Mm-hmm. Which one, it can't both be you and be this whole world of ideas. It can't be both, one or the other. You can't say it's both again. So if you say it's only you, then how differently we have to look at the rest of it? The rest of it is just some ideas, some chemicals in the brain that are making some noise and coming up as thoughts like this. What else is it? What importance we have to give to the... That's the whole dream world just like that, like this. Yeah, because I have some skada when I grew up like this, or I grew up like that. Or I happen to have these genes, so they make this. I happen to have these experiences, so then it creates this kind of thing. You know, that's all. What is it? You know, that's just some idea, but really the substance is I'm the conscious being there. It's not anything other than that in the dream. There's nothing else. So really, you know, look at the dreams and think like this. Because again, it's not by chance that in Vedanta so much the dream is looked into, because the more you look into the dream, when you recollect your dream and prove to yourself that it's only you there, that there's nothing else there other than you, the conscious being, the more you see that, then the easier to see this world like this. So it's such a great training ground for us to do, because that one is much easier to do it. Mm-hmm. But if you see that more clearly, much easier to see this also is dreamlike, because you already solved a very similar problem like this. So, of course, in the middle of the dream, it'll feel just like this, for sure, because you don't know it's a dream then. But when you look back to it, you can do, then it's much easier to equate and to do this one in this world in a similar way like this. Very good. Practice. Simulate. Now they have simulations, right? It's a good simulation. So, in this way. So, the dream world also, the whole world and everything, mithya, it's you. It's that you, the conscious being, is everything there. Nothing other than that, right? That's the satyam. All the objects and space and time, there's all mithya. Right? You can't give them more status than that. Pure mithya. We know the whole dream is mithya. We don't have a question about it now. Because we woke up. We didn't wake up. It wouldn't seem too much mithya to us now. To us. So same way now when we look at this world. Okay, we say there's God in the world. So we say, yes, God isn't sitting in seventh heaven, just created the world. God is in and through everything. Very good. Like this. Excellent. We say that. Okay, very good. So if God is in and through everything, what is here? World or God? Right? Is it Brahman or is it Jagat? Which one is it? It can't be both. You know, same thing. You can't say it's both things, because something isn't made out of two substances. You know, even just people that think like this, say the God is in and through everything, but then we take the world as some separate thing. How can it be like this? Like you have the wave and the water, right? Two different things. Are they two things? You can't have that be two things. You say there's water and wave. You never say there's water and wave. There's a wave in the water. There's water and in the shape of a wave. But you can't have, it's not two things there. It's one thing and that's it. So then, which is it? So of course, some of the time, my mind's in the right place. Yes, it's one presence. But then some small thing comes up. You know, then Brahman Mithya, forget Brahman is Jagat Satyam, and I'm not happy about it, I'm very happy about it, oh, wonderful thing, like this. So in this way, so it takes a lot to keep looking into, but the thing is, one has to be very firm about, because this is one point Adi Guru Shankara gives about this. He says, how come the world is unreal? The fact that something appears means it's unreal. The moment something appears, because however something appears is not how it really is. How many people have you met in your life and then known them a little bit more, a little better? How many of them were exactly as they appeared at first? Any of them? Look, we all married, thought the person is perfect in this. They're still wonderful people, you know, for sure, but it's not exactly how we thought right from the beginning, right? We become parents, oh, it'll be wonderful. It's not exact. One lady who's devotee of Swami Chinmayananji, She wanted to go, he was going to go tour, so she was going to have 6 months to be with him like this. And Samacharya was telling about, I think Swami Bhavanandaji told about this, because he used to be very, Swami Bhavanandaji was on his own, but he was very close, many years, very close to Swami Chinmayananda. We go everywhere with him, Swami Chinmayananda, and say, you go take class instead, like this. Really, one of the closest people trained by him like this. So in any case, I think he told about, so this woman, he said, are you sure you're ready to go with him? Because you're going to have to be ready, surrender everything like this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she was going 6 months, leaving family, probably left a lot of food, you know, with dates in the freezer, what to eat when and this. After a few weeks, she couldn't take it, she came back. Because it's not what she expected. It's not just sitting there like it is in the class. But, you know, he's, no matter how elevated guru, still he's a person. You have to deal, take care of things. It's not, you have to surrender your ideas about it. And it's not, he's not going to be just sitting and speaking the high philosophy every time. He'll say, no, no, please bring this. You know, we have to leave now, don't come later. Whatever it is, mm-hmm. be, who, how their character always will be, you know, it's not going to be just, a, you know, the all very nice and loving and perfect. This every moment can't be like this. So in this way, so, but still it's guru. That's why serving guru like that's not easy, not for everybody. I've seen in the ashrams people that serve the guru, it's one of the hardest things because you have to be very surrendered because they have very high expectation you from somebody there because they have very specific things and the mind is very fast and very clear and the other person isn't like this. So it takes a lot to do that. Yeah. Swami Ram Surupanandaji is one of the greatest heroes. 27 years served Swami Chidananda like this. Amazing. And he came from very simple background, very, you know, very simple, not much education. Swami Chidananda was very highly educated. And he said Swami Chidananda was very, very patient with him, taught him everything, but he had to, you know, he had to learn to put up in everything in this. So in any case, so people like that really have to surrender because they say whatever guru externally is saying like this, that's the guru, so I'm surrendering like this. They have to learn how to change their view. So here too, we have to see through all of this because an appearance, as we said, because it appears like that, that's not how it is because it appears meaning it's through the filter of the eyes and ears, which are limited, and in my mind, which is limited. So it's limited information coming in, so that can't be exactly what it is. It will never be exactly. That's why all the examples are given, snake and rope, and then the silver and the mother of pearl shell, like this, the shell on the beach. You go to the beach, a lot of times it looks like silver, and then it's a shell. These things are given to say, you know, the moment you see something, that's not exactly how it is. It can't be. But it's the one presence that's there, and your mind is breaking it up like this. So this is how we have to keep looking beyond that. So Shraddha, somebody who has bhakti, helps because they say, I feel the presence of God, so God is in it too. But then I have to see that that is what's constant. And seeing again is not seeing with my eyes or my ears. My mind at first can help, but then you just feel, you know, this is the intuition maybe if you want to say, because I'm present and it's one presence. As we were talking, the satyam is in and through everything. One presence. So then it's just one presence, and the other things are just coming and going. They can't really touch it. They don't have the substance. They're not the same substance that can touch it. Mm-hmm. So this is where, you know, we keep looking at to build up this viveka. Mm-hmm. So you can't then say, there's God and world. Right? Otherwise, that's Dvaita. God and world is Dvaita, and that's what most religion sees like this. Which, you know, starting point, but then it gives them the same level of reality, like that. So in this way, but the substance, we can't say like this. So this is what we have to keep looking into closely. So this, with the, right? Jagat Satyam, Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithya, some things like this we have to look into. And then another interesting point we have is like this, is that we say there is mithya, meaning the snake, something that appears but isn't substantial, meaning there's you. An appearance means there's something behind it which is the real. Mm-hmm. And we say there's something totally unreal, tucham, something that totally doesn't exist, never exists. Mm-hmm. So the older examples are given are the horns on the rabbit, or the barren woman's son, like this, because they're things that don't exist. Swami Dayananji said that's going to be a problem nowadays because now barren woman has children. So what are we going to do? And genetic engineering, you're going to have rabbits with horns soon. So he said, so one example that can never be contradicted is a square circle. Square circle will never be, is, never is, never will be, can't be. You can't, not possible. So good. But now, what is the difference between that and mithya? Substantially no difference, because both are unreal. The snake is unreal. It appears, but it's unreal. It's not, there's no reality to it. So in this way. So when we say jagan mithya, it appears. If it appears means, you know, is the dream real? No, it appears that it's no reality. So the world, it's not that it's, at first, mithya is, you know, giving it a status where, okay, we'll give a third status, not the real, not the unreal. But that's earlier. Later, if we keep looking into it, it means doesn't have any, doesn't exist. An appearance doesn't exist, right? It just seems to. That's the only difference. And actually, rabbit's horns, the ears going up, it could be mithya, somebody will think it's this. And actually, here's a very interesting thing with the, with this mithya thing. You know, each culture and place, somebody has to be demonized. They do that in order to, you know, something. So the Jewish people, unfortunately, so much in Europe, and there's so much problems, centuries and everything. There used to be in certain area in Russia. For 1,000 years, there was an area that was almost independent state, mostly Jewish state. Amazing. Almost 1,000 years till not long ago. So in any case, so one of the things in Eastern Europe to demonize the Jews is that Jews have horns like this, right? But I know where it came from. It's not just, it was mithya. Because the religious Jews, when they do prayer in the morning, they put tefillin on this thing. And one, it's made out of leather, one on the arm, one on the head, the men. And the one on the head has a cube, like 2-3 inches. And, you know, it's put here when they tie it. So if you're seeing it, let's say sunrise, it's dark, the snake and the rope, it's dark, you just see the shadow and you see it there. Right? Oh, I see, there's a horn, but during the day they hide it somehow. So I think that's how that myth came around. So myth, mithya, like this. Very interesting. But in any case, so either yes or no, like this. So no means it doesn't exist, period. So it's not that, oh, you know, mithya, the world is kind of existing. Mithya isn't kind of existing, not existing. If in the one of the ways this is discussed called Ajativada, this is in the commentary on the Mandukya Upanishad, the Mandukya Karika by Gaudapadacharya, there he talks about Ajatavada. Ajatavada never was born. Because when was the snake born? Never. When did the dream exist? Never. When did the world exist? Then never. It's mithya. Mithya means non-existent, period. It, don't give it the status of more than the non-existent, than the horns of the rabbit or the square circle. We can't give it, if you give it more than that, you're giving it partial reality, but it's not a partial reality. No reality like this. You give it a little reality, then it's going to also grow, right? You take a little bit of something, it'll grow and grow. So, zero reality like this. That's what we have to strive for. Because if we give a little, it's not, a little won't hold. You know, a little bit is not, it's not going to stay as a little bit like this in that way. So then with this, we have to also see what projections I'm putting. Because the difference is the projections I'm putting on from my mind. Because we can't blame the world. We say, oh, the God created the world. Right? So we'd say God is Satyam, and then the God has created the world. This mithya world came from the God. So then this is called passing the buck, right? It's because of the God. It's the God's Maya. Ishvara's Maya. So please, you know, don't let me be caught up in the Maya like this. But the poor God says, what did I create? What did I do? It's just me. But you're the one who's seeing like this. You're the one who's putting the things on top like this. Now, what did I do? I'm just Satyam. Satyam never makes mithya come into being. You know, somebody has to make the mistake to see, to see it. It's not, so we can't say that God created the world. God is the support behind, everything behind. When you see the movie, did the light make the movie happen or your mind? Your mind is making the connection, making the movie happen. When you see a movie from a totally different culture, there will be connections there that you don't make, that you don't get. Something that people laugh and you'll kind of sit there, what are they? Because your mind didn't make the connection because it's different culture, different ideas that it won't, you know. You've probably, like Indian movies shown to some friends, and had to explain some things because, not just because of language, because culture they don't understand, so it doesn't mean anything to them, right? Like this. So in this way, the mind is helping to create it, not the light. So we project our whole ideas on it. If I remove my ideas, then, so, you know, there's a person, and this person, I say this person, you know, this neighbor, very nice, I very much like, so my friend. This neighbor, I don't like, not, you know, not friendly, I'm not, you know, I don't get along. So it's human being, and you're putting the other ideas on like this, that this one is nice, this one's not nice. Some subjective idea. So I project my ideas on there, human being, and plus my ideas, like this. So this is what happens, is I like to project my ideas, put on my labels. And then we do it with this, but then how far does that go? Like this, how far does it go? Because when we say somebody is friend, where is, it's a person, and then what connection does it have to me? Idea that I have. Then if it's, you know, family member, some family member, right? What is this? What is it? Is it projection or not? Just yesterday, Nilanjana, who teaches, Jyoti's student who teaches her class here when Jyoti's not here. So she was telling me when she was young, then she met the head of one of the top acharyas and Ramakrishna order at the time, is her husband's relative, like uncle or something. So he left young. The Ramakrishna mission was no touch with the family for decades. When he was old, he was in contact again with the family. She met them when she was very young. So now, you know, is he family member or not? For him, I'm sure he knows not family member. Some reason, you know, for some reason, connecting with family, this for whatever reason, but he probably knew it's just Vyavahara, not, you know. After decades not seeing this, I don't think he was missing family or anything. We don't know his inside, but can only assume like this. But they'll say, is our uncle in this? What connection is uncle in this? It's an ideal, so I project. And then same with any people, no matter how close, you know, spouse or child or this, it still is, that's a person, you know. Is it something intrinsically part of your carrying? No, you know. But still, that one is. It's a person standing on their own, the spouse. What is it? It's being spouse is also superimposition that we consciously did. It's not that it's the snake we didn't do consciously, world we didn't do consciously. Here consciously we put on superimposition, but then we take that as this is the reality. And then we have expectation. They'll be like this, they'll be like that, things will be like this, like that, where it is a superimposition too, right? Is that a reality? What does that mean like this? So in this way, we on everything we superimpose our ideas, and you know we have some for Vyavahara, we have some agreement, some things, so we get along and go through things smoothly. And more than that, it doesn't have more depth than that. Like this, so this is something really I have to look at and see what you know that I'm putting the ideas on. So. I like Swami Tattvedanandaji, he says that one shouldn't be the wife or husband, but be the love of the husband or love of the wife, like this, because then you're not, the individual's not there. You take yourself as individual, then it's different. And the whole thing is, in the end, just, you know, some temporary thing for some time, and then what? Right? So we make the best of it. We have to serve nicely, be loving, and then not take it too much further than that, because more than that is going to be a lot of trouble, right? As we all know, like this, a lot of unnecessary suffering, you know, like this we have. And then what happens, of course, is in order to do this, what happens is we take myself as the whole historic self. That's how my whole world around me is built. The historic self. Because let's say now I forget so much of what before. I'll see people around, oh, very nice, nice to meet you, how are you today in this? I take as my historic self, I have the memory of so many things. Like few people that I've known from Kashmir, Hindu people, they despise Muslims. And understandably, you know, I can understand. But the thing is, for somebody like that, can they meet Muslim person, drop the whole background? Because what does this person have to do with? Some people, terrorists cause trouble there. This person is from a totally different place in the world. What does he have to do with that? And I put my ideas on there. So in this way, when I see somebody, if I take with the baggage from my past, I'm going to see in many different ways. Right? I'm going to take myself also. It's not just those, but I'm going to take myself also, because now the jiva I take is this solid thing, but because of all the past memory that I'm carrying with me, where is it? You know, show it to us, you know. Unfortunately, when like our parents' generation, maybe they have like half a dozen photos they can show you, two from their childhood, one or two from marriage, one with their parents finished, nothing more. Right, done. Very fortunate. With us, okay, we have some albums. I have an album when I was a baby. This, even my parents' wedding album, I didn't even want to have a Jyoti took it, whatever, okay. So. But I never even look at it this. But in any case, so now we'll have, you know, we have all so many pictures like this, a few hundred pictures. I have very few left. I used to have some more at the past. Let's say a few hundred pictures sitting somewhere like this. Poor people growing up nowadays. How much of their history is there? First of all, the good thing is it's so much they'll never look into, but, you know, they'll go to Facebook and it shows 5 years ago this and this. Constantly, constantly reminding. Maybe because it's bombardment of just so much, they won't even look too much at the past pictures, might be good for that. But just think of you so much, how much more is that bringing your whole history like this? Making it as though more solid. But just right now you say, show me this whole past, you're saying, where is it? You know, I'm holding it here. When we forget it, we're free from it. When we hold on to it, then it's controlling me like this. And where's that past? Like, you know, if I go back where I grew up, it's changed so much, right? So here and there, when I see some Israeli film, I say, oh, there's nice Israeli film on TV, let me see. The accent the younger people speak is different. I say, hey, they're speaking a bit strange, but you know, things change over time. If I go to the town where I grew up, it's so much bigger area. There was just desert and this. Now the houses they built took over. It's different. I can't go back to the place. It's never the same. Where is the? It's in my mind. All these things. So, in any case, so I take all that with me and I identify with it. But it's ideas. If I drop those ideas, how free I am. But so the less I hold on to those, then, you know, if you're just present now, where is all that? Where's all the limited, the limitation, all the ideas, the jiva, the idea of the jiva that I built up? The more I let go of that, the thinner, much easier to see that I'm beyond these layers, that I'm these limited layers, much easier to see. Because the whole history, and then less history, less future I'm looking into anyway. That's why Vedanta, younger people, is more difficult because, you know, studying, like this one fellow joined that class, you know, maybe, I didn't know, you know, because many interests, looking forward to life, studying, so you can, if that person, no, there's no, unless they're, you know, ready to be a sannyasi from young in this, it's going to be very hard because, okay, you know, what is future? And also, you know, when you have children you're raising, you have to help them look to the future, so that you can't, that duty can't be shirked, of course. So the understanding can't make me throw away my duties, of course, like this. As if kids are all grown up after college, this, and okay, easier because then, yeah, then But meantime, somebody has to still do their duty in it and everything. So, but still for myself, okay, my whole future in this, what do I mean by whole future? Yeah, a few things also come and go. Yeah, okay. So, yeah. So, and we have our duties, so the spouse likes to have vacation this or this, okay, we have to do some, no big deal. You know, I hold my ideas that it has to be like this. Okay, let it be like that, make my mind more flexible, no big deal. So this whole idea, and actually this is very good that situations I have to not do just how I'm used to is very good anyway, because it makes me more flexible, less just caught up in how I like to do. Because how I like to do is caught up in my identity as this individual, right? Like this. So the jiva itself, where, if I take away all these ideas, how much is left? If I take away all the ideas I have, all my past and this, I'm holding on. You know, you put it aside, then now where am I? What am I? The Swami Bhavanandaji, he likes I've seen him, he likes when he's giving a talk, he says, okay, I'll give you initiation, very special mantra. He says, you know, what is the 25th? He says, everybody repeat after me. September 25th, 2022, 9 o'clock a.m. Repeat. Okay, there's nothing before this. You can't talk anything before this. Now, tell me something. What can you say? There's nothing left to say. So they say, you know, all the dead past, we take the dead past and put it on the present. Let you know it's buried, it's finished, it's gone. What now? But I take that and I take and I drag and I hold it with me. And then, what for? You know. So then if I let go of that, then the jiva, how free I am. I want to be free, but I hold on to all the baggage from before. You know. It's like we have the, you know, the garbage bin, every Monday put it out. Do I not tell them, don't take it, I want to keep it. All that, so I hold on to all this stuff. There's, I saw an advertisement once, some monk that comes and gives talks, Dr. Swami so-and-so this. You're a sannyasi, how can you be Dr. Swami this? You haven't renounced the doctor. Or there are certain sannyasi orders in India. You have to be a specific kind of Brahmin to be in that order. So you're sannyasi, but you're Brahmin. You know. So sannyasi, renounce. What is, you're not, there's no caste anything, but no, you have to come from certain caste. So these things, for us to, you know, I can look and say this Dr. Swami this, it might be a Mahatma who's just using the doctor to get people, who knows? I'm just saying because I don't know the person, I just saw once something advertised. I don't know, so it might be great and everything, but just the thing is, what I do is the important thing, how I'm taking. So in this way, the jiva, I want to say jiva as in Brahman, I have to get rid of the Brahma to say I'm Brahman, right? Interesting, Brahma and yeah. Brahma, they're so similar. So I have to get rid of that, and that is all these ideas I have about myself. I drop them, then, you know, it's only Brahman, not anything other than that. This is no question, not part of Brahman, not kind of like Brahman, right? The God made man in his image, they say. So similar, no, it is one and the same. And then you'll say, well, this one is very small, this the Ishvara is so huge and big. So say, okay, very good. The only difference is in size and measure. Yeah. Okay, in size and measure, very good. Okay, go in your deep sleep. Can you take from your deep sleep, your experience in deep sleep, take one part of it out and show me. How can I take one part of it? There's just one homogeneous avidya, like vijnana ganam, they say, one homogeneous cloud of avidya or of knowledge, and that's it, nothing else. You can't take one chunk and give it to me? No. Well, you as the conscious being, where's the time there? Like the deep sleep? Is there time there? No. Is there space there? No. The God, beyond time and space. So what chunk can you take from it? It's like wanting to take a chunk from your deep sleep, and here, there's no chunk, it's just one homogeneous thing. There's no measure you can take there in time and space. So as upadhi, I'm small, right? You know, the mind, very small, very rigid, limited, can only, you know, can't even memorize one shloka properly. I forget the third pada each time when I'm memorizing nowadays. I got it though, but it took a few moments to get the third pada in there. So limited, but that's the body and mind. But I, the awareness, where's, you know. So in this way, from that perspective, and, you know, keep dropping, whatever pass, drop and drop, and then it's just, you know, what is there then? What is there? So you know, we need to have conscious amnesia. And meaning, yeah, you know, you still, whatever's there, so I can walk and talk, whatever, without the past I couldn't do, but I don't need to worry about it. So this is how then you take these aside, then you take all that past away, then you can't see a difference. And where are you going to find the difference then? So this is why I'm saying that they are one and the same, like this. See any other important things here? And then, of course, what's the first two padas are very well known here. The third one, they're always quoted, and the jivam muktaha tu tad vidvan. This one is gets moksha. And the thing is, this is two in this way, but in this way only. There's no other moksha, because any other, how else are you going to get moksha? The only way is understanding this, understanding you're not the limited. It's not, and it's not two things. So just like we said, world isn't world, and is it world or Brahman? I, am I Atma, Brahman, or am I the limited being? You can't say both. It's limited being, superimposition on the one presence. So then, you know, there's one presence. There's one presence, one presence. The whole idea of jivahood is a superimposition. So one presence, done, like this. How else can you get moksha? Anything else is going to be, you know, I'm going to pray to the God and have such bhakti merge into. Merge into is a time, sometime I'll have some experience. If that merging is this understanding, I'm the Brahman, that's the Brahman, there's no difference, then that is this moksha. But if it's something else, then how can you be freed from any, how can you be freed any other way? You know, I'll be very good, so the God will take me to the heaven eternally. Yeah, some very good punya, and I'll have a lot of peace from it, but still, punya is limited there. So that's why anything else won't, we can't say will really free you. Because anything else, because the thing is, until you see the unreality and discard it, there is no, because what, where's the bondage, you know, where's the separation? The idea is in my own mind, that I'm limited is my own. You know, like from the dream, how many ways to get out of the dream world? Well, sometimes I walk out the door, and you know, sometimes, you know, I call the police so they help me get out. No, you wake up. There's no other way to get out of the dream. You can't climb out of it. You can't do a lot of tapas in the dream so that the God will free you from it. You wake up from it. So here, this is the waking up to see the falsehood. Because when you wake up the dream, you falsify to see the falsity of the separation of everything. So this one, the wise person knowing this is the only moksha, because the thing is, if the schools of philosophy that take the world as real, then if the world is real, how can there be a real moksha from it? Because if it's real, it's as real as the Ishvara, so how can they both stand eternally? How can you really free any effort you make? Then Ishvara can't be infinite, unchanging. None of it really can really make sense, because then you have two infinites. How can two infinite? How can one change to the other? It just doesn't. It's just logically can't even stand like this. So in this way. So this is what Vedanta is pointing this out, that this is the moksha to understand this, look into it closely, and not just the intellectual understanding helpful, but it's still an idea, just keep looking into the you know, this falsity. My ideas about the world, my ideas. Don't have the, just see what's, you know, keep paying attention, the constant presence that's there instead of the constant changing things and the ideas I put on them. Myself also, all my past and all my ideas about myself to put aside, because those are ideas. What is there beyond these ideas? And then if I look at both of these, then tat vidvan, it says, so that one who's looked into it, jivan mukta, is automatic, doesn't have to then do something else to get there. Just from vidvan, just from understanding this, that's it. Because then there's nothing to be freed of, because one sees that there is no jagat or jiva to be, you know, to be freed from. Because what is there to be freed from? And it's a package deal. Jiva jagat, package deal. You can't have one without the other, right? Because if you're a jiva, there's jagat. When there's no jiva, where's the jagat? Really present. Where's the world? Where's the individual? Deep sleep, where's world individual? When I come into the picture individual, then the whole thing is there. Then the whole world. So in this way, so this is how we get free from the mistake we have. Like this, that's it. So conclude with that. Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vishishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So we'll have 2 weeks Mananam time, and then in 3 weeks we'll continue after I come back from Salisbury. And then